Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That's right, folks. At 1702 North Burnside Avenue in Gonzales, Primary Care Plus. We just finished the ribbon cutting, and folks are enjoying their lunch now. Come on by, say hello, visit with the doctors, the staff, tell them hello, and check in over here. I mean, this is the place to be in Gonzales today for sure. We are joined by Dr. Mark Sayas. He is actually the doctor who's going to be at this location here at Primary Care Plus. And Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So let me just warn the audience, another Norman. And we were just talking that they have figured out going back to 1601, the family started in Normandy. And have you been to Normandy?
No, I've been to southern France only.
And I know I was just talking to Dr. Ellers. He said he was there last year, and I was telling him that I received a letter from one of my cousins that found the original house where the Normans started in Normandy.
Wow.
And I need to hook up with that cousin. There's so many cousins I haven't met. We're all related somehow or another. We're all from a small geographic area, right? So it's been a lot of fun. I didn't know the Normans had migrated south of Baton Rouge as strong as they have. We're really reaching out here in the state of Louisiana. But, Doc, so you're going to be at this facility. Congratulations. Ribbon cutting today. I'm sure it's very exciting for you.
Yes, it's been a great time to meet the members of the community, the outpour of love and support. Our very special mayor, Tim Riley, attended. It was just a really good event. And, you know, we are excited for everyone to come and see our new clinic.
So how long have you been with Primary Care Plus?
I started Primary Plus last fall in September.
Oh, but you've been practicing for a long time, mostly here in Louisiana?
Yes, I'm a native of Louisiana and did my training at Charity Hospital as well as Tulane, Touro, Veterans, Methodist, and parts and places beyond.
A lot of places that ain't there no more. Right?
They're not there. And I got the silver sideburns to prove it.
Yes. You know, primary care physicians are a special group of folks, right? I mean, you deal with, you know, a healthcare population that sometimes can be challenging. The whole delivery of medicine, I'm sure over your 30 years of practicing, has changed in incredible ways and continues to change every day, right?
Right. In primary care, it's important to remember that this is the entry point into the medical care system. Well, in that circumstance, many of our patients have never been truly oriented to it, and therefore they're not comfortable always. And so it's real important that we as healthcare providers provide an atmosphere that introduces them to the concept of primary care, or we call continuity of care, is how it was trained in UMC. And not only that, but to welcome them and to try to allay a lot of their fears. Once you go to the specialist, you've already been through that gauntlet of challenges. And so it's a little bit different when you're there. But when you come to us for the first time, there's a challenge, and we meet that challenge. We definitely rise to it.
And obviously, over your 30-year career, you've seen all the iterations of medicine, right? And
starting off at Charity.
Yeah. You're battle-tested for sure. This model is vastly different from most, and you've seen the other models and the iterations. What draws you to this, and why is it so important to you?
So that is such a good question, Newell. And it actually is just the core of what I'm even here for and speaking about, to be honest with you. You hit it right on the button. So in the model that I was trained in was a quantity model. And so providers and hospitals were paid for foot traffic, the number of people that roll through those doors. Well, that makes a sense. You kill what you eat, what you kill.
And your compensation was actually based on that.
It was based on that, absolutely. So the federal government looked into the problem of why weren't the senior citizens receiving the type of care that would improve their outcome. And so Washington, through Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, created a quality program. So the dynamic is a bipolar one. You have the quantity, and as I was telling the audience earlier, I worked in urgent care, and that is a quantity-based model. And hands down, it's necessary. This is not a judgment zone for anything.
Yeah.
And It's not a criticism. I tell the patients that. In fact, when they come in, the first thing I tell them is, remember, we're a no-judgment zone.
Right.
But anyway, but it's a comparison. So look at it that way. They're there to see as many patients as need them and roll them through those doors. And I did that for 5 years. I was in the middle of COVID. I got COVID four times as a result of it. And I loved working with people. Oh, my gosh, in any role. But it really is different from primary care in that our model is what you call quality. And by quality, it sounds quaint, but it's really just a designation. I'm not saying primary care doesn't, that urgent care did not do quality. That's not the point. But it's a quality model in the sense that we get reimbursed or we keep our jobs based on the quality of care given to each of our patients across the lines from 18 and up, which means that our care is tracked through computer models and complex mathematical and computational programs that take this data and they give us feedback on it so we can see where we've fallen down and pick ourselves up.
Is the focus really more than designed for health as opposed to sickness, keeping people healthy?
And that's a good point, too. So remember that it's always better to escape a train crash than to be in one. And so when I talk to patients, I tell them that basically that this office is to keep you off those tracks, because once the train has come and you are on it, you are done. We can't reverse that disease.
I like to say the more highs in life you can experience as opposed to the lows, the better off you're going to be, right?
You got it, Newell.
And the same holds true in healthcare as well.
Well said.
You know, and it's funny, I mean, people, and I guess maybe it's just the complexity of healthcare that creates the angst and anxiety, the constant changing of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I happen to serve on a hospital board for over 20 years, so I know it fairly well. And I'm always surprised by how people are able to stay current, because the changes, it's so dynamic. There's so many, and they move fast.
They do. And you were actually right in the middle of the most brisk change. And that had to do a lot with CMS's meaningful use, which I won't go into. It's pretty complicated, which actually put in place the widespread use of computers. And you saw that. And you saw how it affected that hospital and those providers. And I dare say that some of those effects were pretty profound.
Well, they were, because of the contact being limited, you know. And that's what I love about visiting with Primary Care Plus folks. And, you know, I've been to a number of these ribbon cuttings, and hopefully we'll be at more, because I'm really intrigued by the model. And I'm also intrigued and understand the importance of it, because I've actually had the opportunity to talk to patients and their reaction, you know, to it. It just removes a lot of the questions and angst, anxiety. You see it every day.
And so absolutely right. And the other side of that coin is that the provider comes to work and is also satisfied with the outcome, because instead of pushing the patient off, saying we can't take care of that today, okay, and running out the room, which is what a lot of it happens in quantity care, because you don't have the time. Instead of that, we have up to an hour or so, and we don't ever need to tell the patient that. In fact, what we know we can do is come in that room, introduce ourselves, sit down, and keep our mouths shut, and listen. And that's what we do at Quality Medicine. We listen to the patient.
Listening's powerful, right?
It is. That's therapeutic. I told a patient yesterday that just that ability to vent frustration, anger, fears, and tears with your doctor just sitting in front of you, listening without being rushed, is, it's a therapy in itself.
No, no doubt. In our state, we don't score well in a bunch of different categories as it relates to health outcomes. So the challenge is here, right?
So part of that, you know, there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, and we could be hours on it, but just one little snippet I'd like to say is that what I've come to see is that a lot of our underprivileged communities, they never had access to quality medicine. If they did get medicine, it was to be in a fly-by-night doctor's office, maybe, or in the emergency room, and it was never a comprehensive continuity base. So what my point is, in our underserved, underprivileged communities, they were never oriented to what good health care can be. And in our business, a lot of those communities are now in the Medicare spectrum. Mm-hmm. So they're coming to us now not having ever seen what quality medicine can do. And I'm telling you, in my 37 years of medicine, it is a dramatic difference. When you see their faces, they know.
I talked to Dr. Ehlers about this and wanted to get your reaction. You know, you guys spend a lot of time kind of directing people in the right place, right, and coordinating. And when you talk about that continuum mm-hmm. of care, making sure that there's a follow-up, yeah. Navigating them through the process, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And y'all are big in navigation. What do you hear from patients, you know, that have reaped the benefit of that? And you know, what do they come back and tell you on the next visit?
Well, here's what they say in the first visit. And I'm only saying this because you've asked me, not because I'm trying to pat myself on the back, because I don't do that. It's not appropriate. But what they say in front of me, sometimes in tears, is, "Doc, I've never spoken to a doctor like this before." And that is the biggest compliment I can ever get.
They Absolutely. Have never it's compelling.
They have never had that experience. And you can see the tension and the anxiety and the fear and the hurt begin to just pass out of them. And it's a moment.
Well, you know, I just look at my own personal experiences, you know, dealing with elderly parents for years, other family members dealing with elderly parents. They come back. Well, what did the doctor say? Well, yeah, you know, not much. Well, did you ask this? No, I forgot. Did you ask that? I mean, we even sent them with the list of questions sometimes, you know. And how long were you in there? You know, it's like 6 minutes, 7 minutes, you know, not long. What happens is, I think they get all caught up in the moment, you know. I mean, I'm getting gray too, Doc. You know, and I know that there are things that just kind of get away from me that didn't 20 years ago, right? I would have been all over it.
New, you must be in my head right now, not my heart. So one of the things that I tell my patients is that I'm not a typist, I'm a tapist. And so what I do is I dictate. And I say I dictate in front of you for a reason, because I want you to know exactly what I'm saying about you and this illness. If I've got anything wrong, I need you to correct me right away. The second point is, I'm giving you this. So don't try to remember or memorize these instructions. It's too much stuff.
Right.
And you're feeling bad. So just remember that you're going to walk home with all these instructions and patient education, and then the chance when you get home to turn around and call me right back to ask me questions about what just happened. The other thing I tell them is I'm giving you all your records. So when they come in and they've been at a hospital, where it be East Jefferson, or they've been to Touro, or they've been to Baton Rouge General, I get that record printed and I say, this is your record. In addition to mine, here's your lab results. Put them in a folder and keep your folder sacred. Whenever illness calls upon you, bring that folder with you. It can save time, steps.
Save your life.
Your life, unnecessary invasive procedures in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. The doctors, instead of scrambling, can all of a sudden stop, focus on your record and you, and then begin the healing, as opposed to the other system. So it's a very powerful.
Just, look, I'm a, as you can see, I'm a paper person. I got to print everything out. I don't rely on electronics. I am electronically challenged, right? So I got to print it out. There's a level of comfort that's created with that, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like the teddy bear.
Yeah.
You know, I can have my records, hug my records, know where my records are, you know, and reread it if I need to better understand it, share it with whoever, you know, with the family member who's trying to navigate this, but is at work, can't get off, you know, and helping in so many different ways. I mean, I love this conversation because it really is patient-centered.
It is. And can you imagine having a family member that's got dementia? And we see a lot of folks with that. The doctor going,
I'm dealing with that right now with my mom.
Bingo. And my mother as well. Same place as you, Newell. And could you imagine the patient being brought in, say, by a caretaker, and you going over that, you know, the medical record, the problems, and them walking out without papers, without written instructions. Can you imagine the system where they go home?
No.
How is that going to work? It doesn't. It cannot work.
It doesn't work. You know, and no matter what system, and I don't mean this as being hypercritical, but it doesn't matter what system you're in. There are deficiencies, to say the least, for any number of reasons. So from an operational,
no place is perfect.
You know,
nobody.
You have all these whips, these works and processes, and they don't always align. You know. But the one person who's never going to have it or can compel it to align is the patient. That we know for sure, right? It requires everyone else to create the alignment.
Yes.
And it seems as though y'all have spent a lot of time creating the alignment.
Think of the primary care doctor. They used to call us the gatekeepers, and I don't know if I like that term. We're more like the train conductor. We make sure the train's ready to roll, that the staff that support the train are competent and effective and ready to work. And then I go through that train and I look at and check on every patient for their welfare. I'm more like a train conductor. And that's what primary care should be. And that's what quality care model allows for.
Absolutely. Dr. Mark Sayers, thank you so much for joining us today. Congratulations on the opening of this facility. I can tell you're very proud of your role here. And I can tell that the staff here is very excited, you know, and I'm sure that's in large part to everything that y'all do here for sure. Really appreciate this conversation. Mm. And we are broadcasting live from the Primary Care Plus grand opening in Gonzales at 1702 North Burnside Avenue. Come on by, say hello. They got a bunch of donuts, food. They got all kinds of stuff happening here. Some health bars, all kinds of things to eat. Come on by, say hello, check in, see if this is the place for you. I would suspect that it is. You can visit primarycareplus.com or you can give them a call at 225-706-8050 today. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live at the Ribbon Cutting Celebration at the new Primary Care Plus at 1702 North Burnside Avenue in Gonzales, Louisiana. We've had the pleasure of meeting the Chamber of Commerce head here, as well as the mayor of Gonzales, the two physicians that are working in this facility. It's been a great day today. A lot of positive things here going on in Gonzales, and we appreciate them hosting us here. We are joined now by Alice Glenn, New Orleans & Company Executive Vice President, and Leslie Harris, New Orleans Council Member, District B, about a very important program that's underway here in the city of New Orleans. It's called New Orleans Home for Good. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you for
having
me. Great
to be with you as always, Newell. Hi, Council Member Harris.
Yeah, so who's going to start off for us?
Alice, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Thank you so much. I just want to say again, I'm so pleased to always be with you, Newell. Thank you for having us to talk about this important program. What I really want to do is just say and reinforce New Orleans & Company's commitment to what we believe has been one of the most effective public-private partnerships and initiatives that that we've worked on in recent years. And really, Councilmember Harris has led this charge and this effort. So I'm certainly here to provide any info that I can and contact from our perspective, but I really would love to give her the time to tell you the great work that they're doing.
Absolutely. We know that this started out as dealing with the homeless population, Home for Good. It's, I think, one that has been mimicked from Houston, Dallas, Oklahoma City. It's now here in New Orleans as well. And we have a history now. We have some results to talk about, Councilwoman.
We do. And since Home for Good launched, which was about a year and some months ago, we've reached our goal. We're on the track to reach our goal of housing 1,500 unhoused people by the end of 2025. So far, through this public-private partnership, we've housed 1,029 individuals by reaching out directly through our shelter system, also in the encampments and other places, to offer people housing as well as wraparound services. And over 1,000 people have taken us up on that. And so through the public-private partnership funded through city funds as well as philanthropic funds, we were able to get to 71% of our goal of housing 1,500 by the end of the year.
Now, these folks, they come in many shapes, many forms, right? Many different challenges, some from the shelters, some, as you pointed out, from the encampments, and some through other avenues. And the only reason I raised that issue is because it kind of describes the difficulties, and the challenge. I shouldn't say difficulties, maybe the challenges that are presented, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember that the people who are sleeping on the street are just like you and me. And in fact, I've encountered some of my former neighbors sleeping in encampments because they lost their housing. So these are not just, it's not just a monolithic group of people. People have individual needs. They are unhoused for various issues. There are women with children out there. There are people who just are down on their luck. There are also people who come to New Orleans for jobs and lose those jobs and end up having no support system. So the good news about Home for Good and the approach that we're taking is a problem-solving approach. Sometimes it just takes a bus ticket to get somebody back to friends and family where they came from. But sometimes it also takes getting them housed. And so this is the good news about this program, is that it's flexible enough to meet people's individual needs, because this is not an individual list. It's not just one issue that's causing unsheltered homelessness.
Yeah, interestingly that you say that about a bus ticket home. I was talking to someone who was working with one of the not-for-profit agencies that help facilitate and assist the homeless population, and they were kind of moved by how many people don't even remember how they got here. And it wasn't because of an addiction or alcohol or anything else. They just don't remember. You know, they were hitching rides, and next thing they know, they've been here for a period of 6, 7, 8 months and don't even recall how they got here.
Well, if you know, New Orleans has a history of being a town where people come through. You think about Mark Twain sleeping on the river. So, you know, this is a town that people always want to come and enjoy, and sometimes they get stuck in New Orleans and have no support system. So this is a way, again, because of the flexible approach, to problem solve with them, figure out exactly what they need. Do they need to get someplace else with friends and family? For a woman with her children, do they need to get help or assistance with court services? How can we help them? And so this individualized effort is what actually works, and it's been proven to work in other cities, like you said, Houston, Dallas, Oklahoma City, and now we have it here.
Leslie, the challenges are many. Tommy Tucker interviewed Arthur Sterbkow, real estate analyst, this morning, talking about the how expensive it is now to live in the city of New Orleans. Average rent's about $1,600 a month. They're talking about what the average income, what the income necessary to support that. Obviously, we don't achieve that. I got to imagine that's just going to exacerbate this problem, and I think it highlights how dynamic this problem is.
I agree. And, you know, we have in my district looked at the problem from both ends, both unsheltered homelessness, but also the issue of increased housing costs and a lack of growth, economic growth in the city. And that's why we advocated, and I was out front pitching the Housing Trust Fund, which passed by 75% of the votes. And that would go to support permanently affordable housing, not only rental housing, but also housing for people who can afford homes. So the Housing Trust Fund is one part of all of this. We need to look at our housing ecosystem as a whole. We also know that we have a lot of blighted properties. There was a property that was just demolished on Washington Avenue, a historic property that had gone into blight. And so what my next term will be is talking about how we can solve the issue of blight and get those properties back into the market. So that will increase our housing stock here in New Orleans and should drive down prices.
Where has the breakdown been on that? You know, I've been one of those that have been very critical of not only this administration, but previous administrations as it relates to blight remediation, getting properties back into the stream of commerce. There is a legal process that allows the city to do so. But where are the hurdles here?
I think it is the legal process. We're going to have to take a look at our state laws, which govern some of this, but we also need to make sure that we have the correct number of people staffing administrative law hearings so that we can get these properties into the hands. What I would like to see is that we get them back into the hands of the city, and then we can figure out, is there a responsible homeowner who would like to bid on this property, or a responsible developer who would like to bid on a package of properties for redevelopment? This is something that we're taking a look at. Tulane policy class does a project with District B every single year. And so this year we're going to have them focus on how can we overcome these hurdles? How have other cities overcome these hurdles? And really taking a look at what we did after Katrina, when we packaged up properties, got them in Nora's hands, and then those properties were parceled out to developers to try to revitalize the city.
I had Eugene Green on earlier about the, you know, folks spray painting buildings and graffiti and the cost to that and the difficulties that it poses in getting properties back into the stream of commerce. I mean, this would be a huge ancillary asset to Home for Good, in my mind.
Absolutely, especially if you think of the housing stock that we have, the aging housing stock that we have in Central City and Gertown and Mid-City. But that aging housing stock is also what brings the charm to the city of New Orleans. That's why visitors come here. So if we can what I call fill in the gaps. So a lot of our neighborhoods look like a mouthful of broken teeth. We need to fill in those gaps and make sure that we are revitalizing the blighted houses that are there and also building new houses to infill to match those neighborhoods. And I think we can do this. I've met with developers, small developers, who really just want an opportunity to get their hands on these properties and get them back into commerce.
Yeah, because doesn't the city have like a home mortgage authority where, you know, they have opportunities every now and again for low interest financing or things of that nature?
So that's part of the Housing Trust Fund. The two operators of it, and this is by design, are New Orleans Redevelopment Authority and Finance New Orleans. I know that Finance New Orleans in the past has offered classes and then soft seconds. The Office of Community Development also does. But I think by making sure that these two entities, New Orleans Redevelopment Authority and Finance New Orleans, joining together to administer the Housing Trust Fund, we can really amplify the use of those soft second mortgages, the use of money to get developers to be able to match funds and bundle funds to get these properties back into commerce. Again, it is not only economic development for the folks who are redeveloping the properties, but we got to get people in those properties so that they can stabilize themselves, get good jobs, and the cycle will continue.
I know this sounds cliche, but obviously with the many challenges that we have here, it really requires that thinking out of the box. We got to do something different, right? We got to be a disruptor to the traditional way in which we do things.
That's absolutely right. And I think that's why Home for Good is one of those disruptors. We took cues from other cities, but only a handful of cities are doing what we're doing. So I think Home for Good, making sure that we're pairing city dollars with philanthropic dollars to problem solve and get people stabilized, I think that is thinking out of the box, and it's doing something that we haven't done before. Noel, I'll tell you that we know that the shelter system needs to have flow. We know that people have stayed in the shelter for over a year, 2 years, and we need to make sure that that doesn't happen, that we're making sure that the people who are in shelters are there only briefly and then either problem solve their way out of the city of New Orleans or with friends and family in New Orleans or get the housing that they need. So that is out of the box thinking that this is kickstarting. And I also think the Housing Trust Fund is also out of the box thinking. We got to continue to do it or else we're going to stagnate.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've always been concerned about, and I have kind of a rough way of approaching it, and granted, I understand that, but I do that more to get people's attention. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we have this kind of beggar mentality, you know, where we're turning to the federal government and we're turning here, turning there, looking for funding. And we really, I think, have to prioritize ourselves in order to sustain ourselves as it relates to some of these programs like this one that can have a huge benefit to economic development. You know, we've touched on probably five or six things just in this brief period, in this brief conversation that we've had so far. Your thoughts about that?
I think that's right. And I think that we can see it in big projects in bigger cities where people braid funding. This is not anything new. It's done in the business community all the time. And it's something that government should take a look at doing, which is looking at other sources of funding, braiding those funding sources together in order to accomplish a project. Again, Home for Good does that by braiding city dollars with philanthropic dollars. People can donate $5 if they want to, $50. They just need to go on the website. And that is really New Orleanians helping one another. And listen, if you're a visitor to New Orleans and want to donate to Home for Good, please do so. But again, I think it's that braiding of funding that we need to take a look at how the business community does that and translate that into government.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. If folks want to donate, I think they can go to www.homeforgoodneworleans.org. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. No.
And we'll have you guys back on. I mean, there's a lot more to talk about as it relates to this issue. But congratulations on the successes that you've had over the past 13, 14 months with New Orleans Home for Good.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Alice. You did a wonderful job, Alice, throughout
thank
that interview.
Thank you. I know. Very verbose today. Well, look, if I can just say, as we wrap up, you know, this is absolutely the reason why New Orleans and Company continues to support this program. You know, coming up with innovative solutions. When we think about making investments in our community, obviously our mission is to market and sell and promote the city for the benefit of our citizens. So we're laser focused on things that benefit visitors, certainly, but also benefit residents. And we just want clean, safe communities. And all of the things that we highlighted, particularly Home for Good today, really do that in an efficient, effective, cost-beneficial way to our community. So thanks for having us on to talk about it.
Alice, way to bring it home, baby. Thank you, ladies. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks so much, Newell. Take care.
That was Alice Glenn, New Orleans & Company Executive Vice President, and Councilwoman Leslie Harris from District B. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-187 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are broadcasting live from Gonzales at the new Primary Care Plus at 1702.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
North Burnside Avenue. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, don't remember, LSU's hosting a national championship celebration for the LSU Baseball Tigers tonight at 7 p.m. at Alex Box Stadium. We'll bring you a complete replay of the celebration featuring Coach Jay Johnson and the LSU players right after our Pelicans draft special tonight at 9 p.m. here on WWL, AMFM.com, and the Odyssey app. And also remember, nothing worse than losing power, especially during summertime and hurricane season. That's why WWL teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator to offer you the chance to win a portable generator. We're talking about a Generac GP6500 portable generator, total value almost $1,000. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator, because when the power goes off, Craig comes on, and WWL Louisiana official emergency management station. I want to really thank the folks here at Primary Care Plus Gonzales right here at 1702 North Burnside Avenue. I've had a blast, and every time that I've been able to attend one of their ribbon cuttings, the folks that come out from the political leaders, the business leaders, the citizens of that area are so very excited about their experience here at Primary Care Plus. They really believe in this model. And every opportunity that I've had to talk to the patients, they are big believers. They're so happy. And it's funny, you know, you sit here and you watch, and everybody's on a first name basis. They come in, there's a hug and a kiss and a welcoming. It's just really refreshing, and it's great to see. You know, we were talking, Dr. Ellis and I, about the old Marcus Welby MD show. That's kind of what this reminds me of. I mean, everybody just knows everybody. It's just such a nice little community thing. I don't know. I know it may sound hokey, but it's real. It really is. And that's the experience I've had at every one of the facilities that we're open. So I just want to thank Primary Care Plus for allowing me to spend this time with them. It's been great. All right, folks, we will be right back. We'll check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot joins us. Scoot, what do we have coming up?
Today is the day that Michael Jackson died, and we will remember Michael Jackson with some of the early Jackson 5 music and some of his newer stuff, and we'll just remember Michael Jackson today. Ohio lawmakers are not happy with the way the state voted on an amendment making abortions legal, so the lawmakers want to override the voters' new law with their law. So what happened to the voice of the people? We'll talk about that, plus an update on the bombing in Iran.
All righty, folks. Scoot is headed your way with a great lineup. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great evening. Go Tigers.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.